गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविङ्कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोऽतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let's continue with the meditations we've been doing on the topic matter. So you can sit yourself comfortably. Take a few long and deep breaths. I'm sitting straight, still and relaxed. I'm simply aware and present. This way I can look at the teachings in a clear fashion. In the Dhyasana, I try to look at the teachings. Not just look at the teachings, but look at things from the angle of the teachings. What I've already heard and digested, now I assimilate, seeing things from this other angle of vision. So the illustration that Sri Sureshwaracharya was giving is that the sun is reflected in the lake, in the water. So when the water is calm and quiet, there's a very clear reflection of the sun. So there's no question about its form, about its brightness. But then, if there are waves in the water, then the form isn't clear. And it also looks like the sun is moving along with the waves. And if the water is murky, looks like the sun is also murky, isn't very bright, has brownish, greenish, other colors. The sun has become darker. So now all these changes to the reflected sun have no effect whatsoever to the original sun. It still shines very brightly with all its glory. So this is the same as myself, I the conscious being, the original consciousness, Atma Chaitanyam, is reflecting in Antakarana, the reflecting medium. And then the primordial thought, I am, I know. This is the clear, direct reflection of the original consciousness. So when the mind is calm and quiet, when the mind is sattvic, then it's very clear. I am and I know. I'm simply the awareful being. Even if there's little movement in the mind, it's still easy to dismiss this. Yes, I'm aware of that thought that's coming and going, but I'm still the awareful being. But now some waves start coming. The mind gets excited, the mind gets upset. Some rajasic activity waves in the mind. Now it seems that I, the conscious being, am upset, am excited. The reflection has changed, but is the original awareful being changed? When I look back at the experience afterwards, I can see, yes, there is the experience of being upset, the experience of being excited, but I was the same one, same awareful being throughout. So the reflecting medium changed, and that affected the reflection, but not the original. Now the mind also goes into more tamasic mood. I become very tired. Or I have the deep sleep experience. So I, the awareful being, seems to be something much more dim. Semi-aware. Again, when I reflect back on that state, I'm the same awareful being. The only difference is the change in the state of the mind and in the reflecting medium. So the reflection has become dimmer because of the medium. In deep sleep, the reflection seems not to have been there even. I just recollect afterwards that I was there. But again, when I look back to these different experiences, I am, I know, is the same. Is the one thread in and through all the experiences, one unchanging thread. The reflected consciousness, I, the one who experienced, am not something other than the original, because it's a reflection of myself. Any experience, I am this, I am that, Yes, that's me because it's the reflection of me, just like the reflection in the clear mirror, the dirty mirror, or the wavy water. The reflection is me. That I'm not affected by the changes in the reflecting medium. So I'm Sat-Chit. I'm the unchanging existence consciousness throughout. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So we actually finished going through the this section of the Manaso Lasa of the verses that we had taken from that text, which is the commentary on the Dakshinamurti Stotram. The last we read was this last one here, number 25. Let's read it one more time because we'll discuss a few more points on that before we go back to the Dakshinamurti Stotram itself. So let's just read this last one, number 25 here. Samsrijya manasa devaha samsaranniva lakshyate yatharko jala samsargat chalannaneva lakshyate Just as the sun, reflecting in the water, seems to move about in many ways, Atma appears to move about in this world due to contact with the mind, and then some extra dagat put on at the end of the sentence. Right? Actually, there's an interesting thing. Some talks that I hear of Swami Tattvedanandaji, because he's a great Sanskrit scholar, so for him, when he reads the verse, really everything has to make sense because he understands it. For us, we kind of, you know, we know a little Sanskrit, so we can kind of, with the translation, make out the grammar and this, but Sanskrit scholars, so some of the verses he says, he takes like this Vedanta Rindima. So there are a few verses towards the end, two or three, where in his talks he's saying, you know, it takes a little to make sense of it. Because, of course, the original author, Adi Guru Shankara, wouldn't have made mistakes, but somebody copies it down. And sometime when they copy, some mistake is put in there. So he said there must have been something a little off because it doesn't totally makes the sense out of it like this. So that's just an interesting point like that. But in any case, going back to here then, so we discussed it, this whole verse in our meditation, totally discussed this. And last week, we discussed about one of the main points we talk about with Maya is adhyasa. Adhyasa, where we superimpose something on something else. There's avidya, I don't see it clearly. And because I don't see it clearly, then I superimpose something else on. Because the mind doesn't want to just sit there and not know what it is. It doesn't want to leave, it wants to assume things. It's very interesting. We hear people talking, we just hear a few words. We don't know the context. But we assume what they're talking about like this. So it's very hard for the mind just to leave it like that. So we discussed many points about it last time. a few points about is when adhyasa, the mind usually is not in the sattvic mood. If it's sattvic, then it's not going, it's seeing clearly. When the mind is rajasic, then you identify with the movement of the mind. Then it's easier to do. Sattvic, then it's clear. Why would you? You see and you can see, oh, I can't exactly tell what it is. Let me look closer. Yeah, why not? Then I'll see what it is, because now I'm not sure. Like this. I don't have to fill in the dots then. So this is one point we brought up. We discussed about original consciousness, reflecting medium, and reflected consciousness, which we discussed before and we just did in the meditation nicely like this. And other point that we brought up is that for us to look into this, we have to first accept our ajnanam. If I don't accept that I have ajnanam that I don't know, how will I look into it? How will somebody else points it out? Like if I think I know, you know. I think I know, and my wife says, no, it's like this. I'll say, no, I know. What do you mean? My ego, I know it. What does that mean? So I have to be open to the fact that I'm not clear on this thing. First of all, I have to really say I don't really know. Do I really know myself? No, I have some idea. Do I know I'm the conscious being? If I knew, why would I have any problems? Why would I identify with all this other nonsense? So obviously there is the ajnanam there. Then I can start to look into it. But if I don't already see there's a problem, accept it, then how am I going to look into it like this? So this is an important thing. And most people, you know, there are problems, but that ajnanam is the base of the problem, that I have ignorance. What do you mean? I'm this person. I know myself. I've been around so much. I've analyzed. I've thought, you know, so what do you mean? I know myself well. What do you mean? Just, you know. I want to fix a few things outside and a few psychological things, that's it. So I have to accept, yes, there is this ignorance, this unclarity. I really need, you know, and then obviously then, what is going to be the solution? I need to know, I need to understand. If I know this, then that's why jnanam is the important thing here, the understanding. So this is another important point. One other thing I wanted to discuss today, to finish off discussing here about the adhyasa and maya. Let me actually share here. I will share the screen with you because these terms are going to be there. Oops, in this full screen mode, it's hiding the share screen over there. Let's see where it is. It's over there. It is right here. Okay. So right here, this is, let's make this also a little smaller. I'm on this makeshift smaller two screens because I'm not home. Oop. It's not going to the other screen. Give me a second. There we go. Nope, didn't go to the other screen. I set it up before and now it's not going to the other screen there. Okay, I won't see you. I'll drag it onto this screen. Let me just unplug the other screen then. I'll put it on this screen and I'll be hidden from you. I won't see you, but at least I'll be able to fix it that you can see this properly. Can you see this screen now, the Word file? Okay, you see it, but I don't, but no problem. Okay, so two main types of adhyasa, two main base superimpositions. One is ahamidam, I am this. I am this meaning I am this body, right? I am this mind. That's the first superimposition. So that's one type of adhyasa that I have. So this is the called artha adhyasa, the subject related, that I consider myself to be something other than what I am. And this is the identification. So I don't see what I am clearly, of course. So I assume. And then what happens is something close to it is assumed. So just like the snake is close to the rope in the way that it looks similar to the rope, right? The sun is shining in the water, so it's as seemingly connected to the water, to the upadhi. So we connect the upadhi to it, take the upadhi to be part of it. So here, because the upadhi is seemingly connected to the original one. So that's why I identify with that. you know, we play roles. So I'm as a role at work, right? Role in my family, things like this. So I identify with that. So then I take myself as that. So this is one type of adhyasa. So subject related. Second one is idam mama. Mama is mine in Sanskrit. So this is mine. So this is relational, samsarga adhyasa. I identify something related. So I say, so for instance, the body is 50 years old or 40 years old. So I say, I am, these many years belong to me. Like this, I put on my, I know I'm not, you know, the years aren't me, but that belongs to me. The pain, there's pain. I take it as belonging to me. An aspect of myself, meaning so, because that's not intrinsic, but it's an aspect. So whatever is close or anything around me. I'll tell you a very interesting thing. This one I've mentioned before, this Narima, one lady, Sadhu, who stays up in Uttarkashi area. So she's been up there for more than 50 years. She came from England and has stayed ever since she came, met her guru there so long back when she was young. So the ashram she stayed in, it was all washed away by Ganga. Ganga decided it belongs to her, wash it away, and that's it. So, and the whole road was cut off. They were staying in some other school somewhere. She and a few other sadhus, they were just staying there for quite a while till it opened up. So one thing she said is that you think that the main problem is you're identifying the body and the mind. She said that's just the center of it, but everything else tied together is what really makes it very strong, this samsarga. Because she said, everything around you, that's what is defining you. Here, your house, your family, your job, all the objects around you in your house. You go stay somewhere else, you don't have all those familiar things. All of these things. And this is somebody who lived for years meditating for most of her waking hours, most of the hours of the day in meditation, literally for years. Such tapas she's done, has, you know, as renunciate as anybody can be like this. And when the ashram was washed away, she was saying this, that she sees that's more of an attachment than directly to the body and to the mind like this. So that's why the samsarga adhyasa is really quite a big one. It's not a small one like this, that this is mine. There's a nice story once happened in the ashram with Swami Shivanandaji. Some sadhu came. And the sadhu came to the ashram, and the whole time he chants Shivoham, Shivoham, right? I'm Shiva, I'm Shiva. He's chanting that all the time. And Swami Shivananda, he usually is Shiva. He's very calm, peaceful, and joking in this, doesn't, you know, but he played Krishna role here. He told one of the disciples, okay, while that Swamiji is taking the bath in Ganga today, you go and you hide his kamandalu. That's all he had. He just had his set of clothes and kamandalu, the little container where he takes his alms in and takes water in and all this. So he just put it aside like this so he doesn't see it. So when this sadhu came out of his bathroom Ganga, then he got very angry. Where's my kamandalu? Who dares to take this away? So Swami Shivanandaji was laughing. He said, from Shivoham became Kamandaloham. I'm the kamandalu. So the thing is, Eve, because that is his one private possession, the one thing he uses, right? So he even renounced everything in that because that's he's identifying with that. So this is how the samsarga adhyasa is very strong. So of course, so both of these are the two main superpositions I have. And the first one, ahamidam, I am this, this artha adhyasa, this one, the cause of it is lack of viveka. I say I'm this body, meaning this lack of viveka between I am the sakshi and between the sensation of the body. I'm aware of the sensation of the body, but I identify with the body instead. Just like the sun on the water, the movement of the water, identify like this. So this is the first one is viveka is needed for that. Identify with my mind, I'm this mind, But again, viveka, I'm the awareness. Within the awareness, the mind appears like this. I'm aware of the movement of the mind. I'm aware of the state of the mind like this. So this is lack of viveka. If you're saying something, you're on mute. So this is the issue here. Lack of viveka for this one. Then for the other one, samsaric adhyasa, that I say this is mine, for that, the issue is vairagya, lack of vairagya. Because vairagya is dispassion, meaning passion, meaning there's raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. This is, I want to hold on to something or not. And mind doesn't necessarily mean mind physically, but my idea too. Like, this is my country, my democratic country. It's like this, right? Some people don't agree with that. And let's make it eventually, at one point in time, it won't be a democratic country too, right? So that's my idea. This is my country. This is my state. Like, people live in a certain state. Now it's split, right? Now it's split into a few. Somebody, I'm Yugoslavian. I know somebody who came from Yugoslavia. Then where's it to go back to? No more Yugoslavia. Not existing anymore. Like this. So the thing is, I take something, so vairagya helps, because then I know what is mine. What do you mean mine? What define mine? This is mine. It's an idea that it's mine because it's there for some time, appearing in some way. At some unknown period of time, it's not going to be there, won't be under my, I won't be have the control over it, to say over it anymore, like this. That's just how it is, no matter what. Whatever it is, it's like that. So how can I say this thing is mine? In the Ishavasya Upanishad, starts right away with that. In the first mantra, at the end of it says, kasya sweet dhanam. It says, first of all, magridaha kasya sweet dhanam. Don't covet anybody's wealth. But then the kasya sweet dhanam is also a rhetorical question. Whose wealth is it? So whose wealth? This is my house. Whose house is this? Is it your house? Right? Tomorrow the earthquake comes, house is flattened. Or tomorrow I couldn't pay the mortgage, they take it, the bank sells it. What do you mean? Here it doesn't happen as often. In India it happens very much. Somebody comes with a court case that actually... It was sold to a few years ago, but it really didn't belong to the previous owner. It belongs to them. Now it's stuck in court. You have to vacate. It can be stuck for 2 decades in court. You never can live there anyway. So what do you mean mine? Any moment I can die. Where's all mine things? They joke. They say, you earn all the money and your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law are the ones who enjoy it. You say, I earned it from my retirement. Somebody else enjoys it. What do you mean mine? So in this way, vairagya helps with the mind, because mind isn't, that's an idea. But mind is, that's why, first of all, I have to see everything is given to me. I'm just the caretaker. That's how I have to see it. If I see it like this, I'm the caretaker, the God's given it to me. I have to take care of it well, because the God lent it to me. Just like, you know, some very important person or a good friend lent you their car, you take good care of it, you give it back in better, as good shape, better than you could, like this, that's it, not yours. Because the moment I try taking his mind, then my identification, I identify with that. So of course, the closer things does, harder for us to do that, we could say, but this is the reality. So these are the two main adhyasas we have, because the main adhyasa, the main issue is about that I take it as a fact, where really, if I look at it, these are ideas, and it's an idea in the mind that I put on top of, I superimposed. It's not that, it's not a factual thing, right? So these are important points for us to look at like this, right? The artha adhyasa, or aham idam, I'm this, and the idam mama, this is mine, the samsarga adhyasa, something connected to me like this. And also, those things also change. I am something in society, later I'm not. I am, you know, any role I play tomorrow, I'm not in that role anymore. The more I have this understanding, the easier these are. It creates the shock absorber for when these things change, because inevitably they will go away. So the shocks in life, those are good for us, because those are showing us when these things happen, showing us that what I take as solid, this is absolute, how it is not like that. So things change, and then how can it be? Oh, because I took something to be permanent, which is impermanent. I took something as mine that's not mine. I took, identified myself with something, but that's not who I am. So this is the, so literally Vedanta is looking clearly at it, not giving some dogma or something like this. So this is the important thing here. So this is some points on this. Now, to get over to to break the adhyasa, of course, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of, I have to work hard and really want to, mumukshutvam like this. It's not going to just slip away. Like this, once a week, I'll spend an hour looking at it, and rest of the time I will forget it. It's not going to go away so easily like that. I have to actively look into it. So I have to put my level best to really keep looking into it and really wanting to see beyond it. An example that's given, an illustration for this, is when you have the chick in the egg before it's hatched, how hard it has to work to break the egg in order to come out, right? How hard it must be working there. It's probably pecking and pecking and pecking, and puts all its effort in till eventually it managed to make some small crack, and then, okay, I can get somewhere. And works very hard till it breaks the shell and comes out. So the same way, we have to keep pecking at it and making the crack, and then slowly. If the thing is there, once the crack is made, the crack is there. Here we make some crack, seeing through it, but the crack here slowly gets sealed. My idea is kind of covered up again. So it's a trickier one than that. We have to be, because the mind creates the problem. So when we create a crack, the mind creates some other confusion or some other idea to help too. But no worries. If somebody is sincere, there's no reason why we can't see beyond. It's just a matter of us sincerely wanting and putting the effort in. So this is an important thing like this. And so what happens is, okay, so what should I do about it? So a few points of how we'll go beyond this, how we'll break this adhyasa. It's very important. Break adhyasa, meaning the break, go beyond maya like this. So one thing is my actions, karma. Right? Actions, as Sri Krishna tells us in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you have no choice. You're going to do actions. Nature is going to make you act. You can do nothing about that. So that's just a fact. It's not a judgment or problem or solution. It's just a fact. You act. You're going to do actions. Finished. Nature makes you do. But then what type of actions I'm doing, that then is in my hands. Because any action I choose now, I choose to do it in one way, or I choose to do it another way, or choose not to do it, do something else. This is totally in my hands. Here we have the class. We can choose to have the class or not have the class, to have the class in this way, in person or online, choose to have it in this manner, that manner, choosing to do action like this. So with the action then is doing the nimitta karma, kartavyam, what's needed to be done, not just what I like to do. This is one thing. So this way my field of action doesn't get in the way, because when I do it how I want, just according to this, then it starts being driven by ragadvesha, what likes and dislikes, and that one will help to strengthen my attachments and will pull me away from this clarity. So doing every best I can to do what's needed, not just what I want and how I like to do. So that's first thing. First thing is like this. This is for karma in this way. Second after that is upasana. any meditation things that I do, worship I do, I should be aware that the worship doesn't strengthen dvaita. I go to the temple, I worship in that temple, and by worshiping that temple, I start thinking other temples are, the God isn't there. This religion's temple, yes, it's here. The other ones, forget it. Their God is not good, like this. The God is in my sect. It is. The other sect, they don't know. So my God is in this form, other forms, I'm not so sure. So, and that it doesn't create, there's the God there, the beautiful image in this, and that I'm something else other than it. So this is important, slowly, slowly, not to be, it should be, the upasana should be expanding and helping to slowly take away the differences, not increase the differences. So this is another important thing. So the upasana like this. So that's second, how my worship, how my outlook is. Because upasana is the mental part of the worship, and the mental part needs to slowly, slowly, I need to see, slowly, slowly see beyond the differences, all the differences like this. So this is second one that we can do. Third thing we can be aware also is another part of spiritual practice we do is yoga. And to be aware in yoga, that yoga practice, meaning Raja Yoga, is dealing with the mind. Because what happens in yoga practice, yes, it's wonderful for the mind, but then I identify, it helps, keeps the identity with the mind, because now my mind is very peaceful. I have wonderful meditation, okay, very nice. I feel very peaceful, I feel wonderful. But now I'm identifying with the state of the mind. It's not viveka. It's, I'm identifying with the mind, I am the mind, the quiet mind. Samsarga, this peaceful mind is mind, I'm enjoying this. It's probably more the identity than it's more identifying with the mind than the mind is mind there. And then what happens when some disturbance comes? Hey, I was in such a peaceful state, how can you disturb me? Like this. One time, one lady disciple Swami Shivananji came to him and she prostrated and, you know, I've been doing my meditation. My mind's so peaceful now. Thank you so much, you know, for your guidance. And Swami Shivananji said, don't think you've gotten somewhere. He said, if you go back and your closest friend abuses you, says horrible things to you, and your mind doesn't get too ruffled, then maybe you've started achieving something. Exactly this point that he was pointing out, listen, don't identify with the state of mind. If you have some vairagya, viveka vairagya, that'll, you know, then you've gotten somewhere. And that's the viveka vairagya. Somebody close to you is speaking to you in a very bad way that you wouldn't expect like this, then it's a test like this. So this is third thing, understanding yoga is very helpful, but for vikshepa, but not for identity, but making sure not to identify with the mind. Learning to decide to be the sakshi of the mind. If the mind is too noisy, of course, how would be sakshi? So mind has to be more peaceful, but understanding. And also, yoga is just the meditation, quieting the mind. That's not yoga. The preparation, yama niyama, is the base. And yama niyama will bring a lot of these qualities that we need anyway for Vedanta, so they're very useful. So in this way, not to keep it as just identifying with the mind. And then, the one more point there, okay, and then what happens is, since the problem is the ajnanam, it has to be removed by understanding, misunderstanding by understanding. So I have to very patiently look at it. If one thing I understand and I really look into it, so what, let's say, this is actually what I like to do when I hear lectures on. I hear and there are a few important points. So I'll take one of them and I'll ponder on it for a while, like this, at least for a few days, stay with it. Because then it becomes more and more, becomes part and parcel of your being. Because I have to look into it. We study this, so, you know, each one studies this, so they can look into it. So you look into it because you want to know. You know, it's not that, so just leaving it as an idea, just leaving some notes on it, that doesn't do it. The notes are useful, they're going back to, but then have to reflect on it, look into it, so that I can remove it like this. And the thing is, who created this ajnanam? It's me, it's in my mind. I'm the author of my own misunderstanding. Nobody else is at fault. It's in my own mind, it's my creation. I see the snake because of my impressions. In the verses we were studying here, talked about how the vasanas, because the confusions created because of my own vasanas. Who creates my vasanas? Who creates the latent impressions in my mind? It's me, my habits. So I created that, so I need to undo it. I can't wait for somebody else to do that. And, you know, literally with how much we've studied, I believe that if any of us really takes that really seriously, we can throw out so much of the layers. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of determination, shraddha, to do it, but why not? No reason why we can't. So if we take some of these points and really reflect on them, really look into them, then becomes more and more clear. It becomes part and parcel of my being when I see that this is me. It is viveka, is me. Vairagya is me. This understanding is me. Like this, it's not just in something that becomes a habit in the mind, but it is coming directly from my nature. Like this. So these are some points about this. And then just in day-to-day life, or as if we want to call as practices for helping to achieve this, things that we pointed out, like one point we said, not labeling things. I see and I try not to label. Labeling, I'm already putting my idea on top of it. I can do it if it's something that is really catching me very strongly. Then I can label, it's not that, you know, not that serious, it will pass, something like this. But in general, if I start not labeling, then I'm taking away some adhyasa I'm putting on, just seeing it as it is. This is one very helpful point. Second very helpful point with this is, we discussed alert living, being very attentive, alert. When I'm alert, then when something comes up, I can make a choice then. I don't get caught up in it as easily. Because when I'm not attentive, alert, then something comes up in my mind, some emotion, something comes, and I get swept away with it. But if I remain more present, alert, it won't catch me as easily. I won't be swept away as easily. So then raga dvesha won't be able to control me as much. Something comes up in the mind, it can't control me as much. And actually, the alertness helps in this way, that what happens is a thought bubbles up in the mind. Because of my habits, because of my impressions, the thought bubbles up. That I can't do anything about. You can't control what will bubble up from the subconscious mind. Once it bubbled up, then you can do something. You can follow it or not follow it. It's up to you. So when I'm alert, when it bubbles up, I can be aware. Okay, this upsetness came up. This impatience came up. Something came up. Okay, it come up, let it just flow by. Let me focus something else like this. So that it came up, I can't do anything about, but afterwards I do have a choice. So if I'm alert, easier to do that. When I'm not alert, then not as easy to do this. I just get pulled away like this by that. So this is another thing we can do in day-to-day life like this. And one more, which is probably the most profound of all that we've been doing in as a practice, being sakshi, being the witness. Because as the witnessing awareness, then whatever comes and goes, it's not me. Idam namama. Idam naham, idam namama. This isn't me, and that's not mine. I'm just aware of it. So as the witnessing awareness, then what can touch me? And that really helps build up my viveka, like this, as just being sakshi. So this is concluding this whole section here on maya, that we can say we know Maya a little better, I hope, but we can't say, oh yes, I fully know Maya. This is what Maya is. If I say that, then that would be, you know, I see more clearly. I'm not as caught up in confusion, that I can say. But I can't say I know Maya because you'll say, I know the rabbit's horns. You know, I'm an expert, number one expert in knowing in rabbit's horns. Like this, so it won't really work, but I have clear idea that the rabbit's horns are not there, that that I can say like this. So this all stemmed from this whole few class, four classes so that we had, that we took this aside, from the eighth verse, right? Which is, how does it go? Vishwam pasyati karya karanataya swaswami sambandhataha shishyacharya taya tateva pitrupat putratyatmana bhedataha swapne jagrati vaya esha purusho maya paribhramitaha. Those two words, maya paribhramitaha. Tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye. So because of the importance that because of Maya, this whole confusion comes up. So in the commentary, Sri Sureshwaracharya took that and said, look, yes, all these different relations, different things are there because of Maya. What is this Maya? Let's look more closely into it. And let's really look at it. And so I really have the clear understanding so I don't get Maya paribhramita. I don't get totally confused by the Maya, swayed or pulled away by Maya. Passing the buck on Maya. Yeah, there's some universal Maya. Because of that universal thing, then I'm confused. No, Maya is within my own mind, my own understanding. The ajnanam is within me. It's my ajnanam. The vikshepa, the tossing, thinking of something else, adhyasa, it's me. I'm the one who's doing adhyasa. I'm the one who's superimposing. So to really look closely into this. And then in the verse itself, it's just showing what they are. Vishwam pasyati karya karanataya. We saw how I see the world as a constant cycle of cause and effect, cause and effect. So it seems that it's endless. And then we want to look beyond. Cause and effect, it's endless. So is that way, samsara, endless. I'm trapped here for good, like this. So seeing that Sakshi is beyond cause and effect. I am is not affected constantly. Presence is not affected constantly, I pray. So there's something there that isn't affected by it. Like this, ukarya karanata, swaswami sambandhata, any relations, ownership owned. Shishyacharya, even the teacher-student relation, as we discussed, even in this, even the when you go to Vedantic teaching, then there it's relations just for pointing this out. You know, just like people play a role, the role is just to help to point this out, not for anything else. But still I can get caught up in that. I'm the teacher, I'm sitting and talking, so I get caught up in this. Somebody was student, I'm the student. Student of this great Mahatma. So I feel safe because I'm that person's student. Right? One of the first teachers I had, Shivananda Ashram, then he said when he was young, he joined the ashram. So he came and saw Vishnu to the ashram and saw Vishnu. He's so happy now I found teacher and he's taking, going with him and serving in this. Then after a few days in the ashram, now Swami Vishnu is busy other things and he's just sees him satsang in this, barely sees him. Swami Vishnu goes elsewhere, he's just serving the ashram. Well, I came to learn from this. That's my guru, how can now? You can't hold on to guru and be with the guru constantly and have guru in your pocket or whatever, right? Yes, some devotion is good, very helpful. But then, what is guru teaching? What is being pointed to? Not. Otherwise, the external thing also builds up another samsara like this. So that's also the trap. And this same person, we've seen a disciple, Swami Vishnavanandaji, to help him. Swami Vishnu used to scold him and say, don't think you're a guru. You're no guru. You're not a guru. Like this, to make sure doesn't go to the head, because I'm senior, many people coming to learn from me, doesn't make me something like this. And some people the other way around, student. I'm student of Vedanta. So I'll study. I'm just a student, right? Some devotees, I'm just a dasa. I'm a dasa. I'm always just servant of God. I can't be something more than that. I'm always the lowest servant. Or I'm student. I'm always learning. I'm learning, learning. Yeah, I'm student. Student is temporary in order to know. I'll know, and then so I have to be a humble student as a student and just trying to learn something, better myself. But then that's also temporary. Eventually I'll drop, when I know I am, I drop that student. There's no more student. Student is just a role for, a temporary role for studying, nothing permanent in that. You know, like somebody's in college. Do they want to stay there for good? Somebody I know indirectly, I don't know the person, but friend of that person. Years back, that person went to UC Berkeley, and the person really liked taking the classes. And so the person just kept enrolling, kept year after year for a few years, was going to UC Berkeley, kept taking all the classes because he was enjoying it. Then the school said, this is a problem. We need, you know, it's a, what do you call it? It's a conveyor belt, right? An assembly belt, you know, once finished. So then they made a max number of units. After this many units, you have to graduate. You can't stay anymore. So this person set that precedent that they had to set that, do that. So I'm a student forever. Yes, eternally student as an individual. I can always learn. But I'm learning this to see beyond it. I see beyond. I'm not, you know, in Gita, Sri Krishna says that in the, for the jnani, it's like, you know, all the Vedas are as good, or, you know, are useless, just like water for somebody if there's a big flood. And you say, do you want some water? I say, what do you mean some water? What do I need any water for? Water's everywhere. So the person who knows the self, what is the Veda, what is it for them? It's like that, like the person, because now they are living it. So that's also just, it's not, it's just a temporary thing. So any relation. I relation with somebody else, it's samsarga adhyasa, as we said. It's that relation is just a temporary thing, temporary playing my role. It's a role I'm playing. But in essence, am I that? When I'm just quiet in myself, am I a mother? Am I a father? Am I a teacher? Am I an employee? What am I? Those are just temporary in certain situations. It's like that, but not my essential nature. So all these things, it's just superimposition, something I have a duty and role to play through those. So it's a useful thing for learning to do my dharma, learning to see the mirror, to see the my defects, likes, dislikes, that I need to go beyond them like this. So in this way, we've enrolled in the school to learn and grow. So in this way, but not to see them as what is essentially myself like this. So actually, this verse now, the Vedantic teachings end in here. The next verse, which we'll take up next time because time now will be too short to start to go into it, gives a different view, a different role like this. So, so right now, we looked into as preparation next verse, we can say when we look at Ishwara, at the God in inter, that's at the God, you can just say the God as the Godhead, three different ways we can look at it. Three different ways. The first way is Ekarupa. Ekarupa, Ishwara with a form. This is for worship, for upasana. So you need some form to focus on. Otherwise, how will I focus? Where will I start? So actually, we haven't been repeating the dhyana shloka, but there are dhyana shlokas for here, which talk about the form of Dakshinamurti. We'd mentioned some of that at the beginning of this course. Yeah, so Dakshinamurti is sitting there, form of Shiva facing south. What is the meaning of the name? All these things, okay, there's some form, something for the mind to hold on to focus. So it is Lord Shiva. It is the original Guru, Adi Guru, these things. So this is one form so that the mind is something to focus on. So this is first one, and this is a very basic, the simplest way, or first step, you can say, in looking at Ishvara, at the God. Because the mind needs some concept, some idea, some form. Otherwise, what will it focus in? So this is Eka Rupa Ishvara, God with one form. So it's the place to start. That's why this all Ishta Devata, people choose deity according to the like, they worship that, focus on that, to start, like this. Then afterwards, there's Aneka Rupa Ishvara, or Vishwarupa, without form, in all forms. Aneka mean not one, meaning multifarious, in all. So God in and through everything. This takes from Upasana to Nididhyasana, from Upasana to Vedanta. There's no border there. Here, if you are going, you know, if you're going from one country to the other, I'm here, and I'm going to go to Canada. As I go, there'll be a border, right? Yuri goes, probably so he knows. You go, you get to the border. It used to be you just drive through, you just wave, or they just want to hear you're speaking with an American or Canadian accent and let you go through, but they become more strict over time. And that they want to see some ID or this in the past that they didn't read. If they heard a foreign accent, okay, just show us your passport, okay, go. So, but there is a line, a border. Here's America, here's Canada, like this. But Upasana, Nididhyasana, Upasana, Vedanta, you can't put an exact line. So the Vishwarupa Ishvara, I can take in the Upasana, and you can take in Vedanta, and we'll get into next verses about this. Because that one hasn't been dealt with at all here. The Dhyana Shlokas, the people you can say before, talking about the form, that's the first. This second one we haven't talked. That's being discussed, will be discussed now. Then the third and highest one is Arupa Ishvara, formless, Nirguna. That's what's been talked about is talked in Vedanta in these first eight verses, talk just about that. Because formless, the moment you go to formless, then if all forms are taken away, how will your form stay there? I want to demolish everything, see the God in and through everything one, but I want to keep myself as something separate. It doesn't work. How can you do that? You go to sleep, deep sleep, your form goes as well. It's a package deal, you know. Buy one, get one free. There's individual, there's world. There's world, there's individual. You have one, you can't have one without the other. It won't stand. So this is, and that's what this all discussed, all this in this way. So the next one we'll discuss about to fill that gap, because one of the reasons the next verse is brought up is, okay, all these teachings are there, fine. Now how do I look into it? How do I see this in and through everything? What do I need to do? Or how can I meditate? How can I prepare? So that's why this verse comes in, why this next verse is there, which is going to talk about this Vishwarupa Ishvara, seeing the God in and through everything. And both, as we said, can be as Upasana or as Nididhyasana, like this. And actually that vision of seeing the God through everything, we say like this, for the Jnani, it's just how they see things. The Jnani just sees the God in and through everything, doesn't see any differences. The Jignyasu, the student of Vedanta, this one sees this as Nididhyasanam, because understands why there's just the one presence in and through everything. So is learning to see things from that angle of vision. Like this, seeing there is the one Atma, one in through everything. Then the Upasaka, somebody who has not studied Vedanta, but is trying to, through Upasana, through worship, through meditation, to expand their vision of God, will visualize there's the one God in and through everything. So that way, it's the Jnani's vision, the Nididhyasanam for the Vedanta student, and it's a meditation and Upasana for the aspirant who wants to expand their vision of God like this. So next week we'll get into that verse next time like this. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So before we finish for today, if any questions or anything you have, or if Maya is gone, then no need to speak, no need to open the mouth.
I did have a couple questions.
Yes, please.
I do feel obligated without Doug here, always at the end.
We need to bring him back. Right? We need to lure him back. Say, we need you because we need good questions.
Yeah, but he always asks for the things he missed in his notes. He's so thorough. But
yes,
I did not catch the name of the formless.
Arupa, because we said Ekarupa, one form, Vishwarupa or Anekarupa, all forms or universal form, and Arupa, no form, and then it is Nirguna Brahman, the God, formless God, without qualities, but to go with the same nomenclature, Arupa.
Like Arupa, okay.
Yeah.
And then I got the Jnani and the Upasaka, but yeah. I didn't get the student of Vedanta.
Student of Vedanta. The term I use is Jignyasu, because Jignyasu, one that wants to know. Because we say Mumukshu Twam is one of the four means for liberation, right? Sadhana Chatushtayam, the last one. So Mumukshu is somebody who yearns for liberation. But then from being a mumukshu, one becomes a jignyasu, one who wants to know. Then one is a student of Vedanta, because they say, I want to be free, then how will I be free? Well, I have to understand. So jignyasu is the student of Vedanta. Spiritual aspirant, but what a spiritual aspirant who is a Vedanta student, like this. Yeah. Good. Filling in the blanks. Good.
Thank you. I liked your border example. That was easy for me to visualize. So the last time we crossed the Canadian border, we crossed by land, which we've done a few times. But we, you know, you go on a plane, you stand in line. It's very formal. Uh-huh. They literally have a red line when you've crossed the border in the airport. When you usually, if we go over the border by land, we drive. Mm-hmm. So, but the last time we walked over, we were very. I don't know what the word is. Very disorienting. We didn't know like what happens when you cross that border that doesn't really exist.
Everybody
pretends. So we didn't know what to do. So then we got in line with all the cars.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's in their car. You know, the driver sitting there and the person next to it with the passenger seat. So I was in the driver's seat. My wife is next to me, and then we moved, you know, along with each car.
Yeah.
You know, as if we were in a car. And then when they asked for the passports, we reached into our bags. And the guy laughed and he said, why are you guys in a line with the cars? Why don't you just walk up to the booth? You know, it was like, it's like the formality of a border. It doesn't really exist, but you all pretend. You know, we always go over it in a certain way. So we just did what we always do. It made me think of like, what is the border? What is a border?
It's an idea, yeah.
There's a whole ritual around just make, you know, worshipping the borders, so that it actually is something, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny thing. It's not, you know, it doesn't go, it goes more with the, it's not the Hanahan totally Vedanta, but it's something happened because, you know, the ashram in Canada is where Quebec is where the headquarters, Shivananda Center is. So there's this one murti of Durga that Swami Vishnu used to like, we have in some places. So we were bringing to Canada. So I was going up to Canada by bus, myself, one other lady from the ashram, and we had these big duffel bags, each as much as we can take in the bus, two big duffel bags with that, many things to bring for the ashram. So when we went on the bus, and on the bus in the border, everybody has to get off and take their bags and then go through the security and everything. And a few people, they asked to see their bags, or one or two people that were delayed, they had to take the next bus, something like this. And the thing is, we're the two people who have all these big things, right? And she's Middle Eastern, also Egyptian. She's Egyptian. So we're the ones who kind of look the strangers with the funniest things. And if they looked at the bags, what are all these things you're bringing? All these things for the ashram, whatever. And we're the ones they'd looked at the least. They just looked at, okay, go in this. So it's kind of like, you know, we're kind of laughing inside, you know, because Swami Vishnu wanted, you know, the Guru's blessings we're doing for a service. So it just went through like this. So it was quite a funny thing like this. It was like in a comedy show. But I guess when you're doing it the right spirit, then things just, you know, they work out.
Borders are just strange places, right? Because you have to acknowledge what actually is, or pretend what is not there.
Yeah. Well, it's also that's Vyavahara. Vyavahara, there is a border. You know, you live in this apartment, the other person the other. So for Vyavahara, it's useful. Absolutely, we know it's beyond that. You know, it's just like that's part of the Vyavahara, we have to do our duty, and part of it, the duty needs some borders to do a duty. Without that, what duty is there? So that's why it's part of just for doing things. But then we understand that it's just a formality, it's not any absolute thing. Very good. So have a good week, and we'll continue next time then. So we have two more classes. Then we'll finish this text. Then we'll also have 2 weeks break because I'll be away at the Dayananda Ashram then. So it works out, time-wise, it works out very well. Good. We'll see you then next time. 6:30.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing class.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming.